Good job, ladies. We have a pile of amazing young people in our midst. We do. Thank God for them. Yes, yes. God blesses us. If we give them opportunity, a place to grow and develop, which is what this place is supposed to be, a training center, a hospital for the sick and the hurting. And we get to train them up, develop them, and then send them out into the world to do what God has created them to do. Or we can let the world take hold of them and train them up and train them to do what the world would want them to do. I like God's plan a lot better than the world's plan. Amen? Amen. So just real quick, for the people online, sorry about the interruption last week. The internet tower went down. That wasn't on our end. We didn't cut you off so you couldn't watch service, so I apologize for that. If you want to catch it on audio, you can do that at tlc4me.cc on our website, and the audio is available there, but the live stream was cut out because the internet was cut out. So my apologies. Hopefully you guys are with us this week and enjoying. So we love to have you guys tune in to see your comments there online. So appreciate you guys. Stay tuned in for more of Pastor Arby's bloopers. Yeah, you know I have hoof and mouth disease occasionally. So before we send the kids to Children's Church, I was telling the girls this morning, I was like, I see like prophecy coming to fulfillment here, where the cub and the ram sing together. I think that's... For those of you who don't know, the girls that were on stage, one is a Clearwater Valley Ram and one is a Kamei Cub. So I was kind of having some fun with them. The lion and the lamb lay down together. The cub and the ram sing together. Just a little Pastor Arby humor. So hopefully that can brighten your day. We're going to dismiss kids for Children's Church. Ages 3 to 5th grade have classes available over in the East Wing. Parents, if you would sign them into class, please. And remember to get them afterwards. That's always very important. And as always, they're welcome to sit here with you. The nursery is available also behind the window titled Bookstore if you have children 0 to 2 years of age. I'm not sure if they have the speaker working in there yet. You could ask one of the ushers in back and they would know that. But as always, your children are welcome to sit right here and have a good time in service as well. Whew. Got through all that fun stuff. Now we can get to the Word of God. Jump into the good stuff. So as Kathleen stated, we've been in this theme of come. Come and see what God's done. Come and see his goodness. Come and see what's available to you. Come. How often do you show up when you get an invite to come somewhere? You say, I'll show up unless something better shows up. Or possibly you're like fourth on my list because I have this thing, I might go skiing with some friends. I have another thing, I might go dirt biking with some friends. I have this other thing, we might make up something to do. But if that falls through, we'll come and do your thing. Have you ever been that person on the list? Maybe. You probably don't want to admit it if you have been. Or if you've been that person that put me fourth on your list after the invent something to do. Like, is that grasping with anyone? Like, you really don't want to go to where you're invited. Because some people view God as this giant guy with a big white flowing robe and a big white beard and, like, this rack of lightning bolts sitting next to him. And he invites us to come, but they see him as, like, man, if I step out of line, he's going to zap me. And, like, I'm going to find something else to do because I'm scared of God and what he might do to me. But that's not the nature of the Father. That's not his invitation to come and sit at his feet, to come and enjoy his living room with him. He's not sitting up there waiting for us to do something wrong so he has an opportunity to use a lightning bolt. It's a general, casual come, a welcoming, as a host would welcome a guest. Come. Come and see. Come and experience. Come and enjoy all that God has in store for you. So don't put him third or fourth on your list. When he gives you the invite, come running. Say, I know that he has good things in store for me. I know that he has a hope for my future, that he has promises for my future, that he has love and compassion for me. I know that he has good things in store for me. I know that he's trying to get something to me and not take something from me. So when I get an invitation to come into the presence of the Lord God Almighty, I'm running to it. I'm advancing towards it. When I was in Africa, these people would walk in 10, 12, 15 kilometers to go to a church service to come and see what the Lord was going to do that day. We went to this one village way up in Mozambique, and this pastor rode his bike 35 miles from two villages over to come to the service where the Americans were giving the message, because he wanted to come and see what the Lord was doing. And this wasn't on a dirt road. This was on a mountain trail full of lions and elephants and hippos and crocodiles and Lord knows what else can eat you out there, and porcupines with spikes this big on them. It wasn't like he said, you know what, I'm going to jump on the highway and ride down the white line. And no, it was through a mountainous region of Mozambique. He said it took him about 2.5 hours to make the ride, which means he had to get up pretty early. And when church is over and everything's over, he's going to turn around and ride back home. In the heat of Africa, this isn't nice, calm, 57 degrees, a nice day out. This is like 80. It's hot. It's nasty for riding a bike in a three-piece suit. But he wanted to come. The expectation was God's going to be there. He's going to show up and deliver something. I want to experience what God has for me. Do you come with that expectation when the Father invites you to come? Today's topic is come rest. Come rest. The only people that want you to come rest are the Holiday Inn Express. They will gladly take your visa so you can come rest. The rest of the world wants you to stay charged up, keep moving, keep flowing, come buy, come purchase, come experience, come do. Go, 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 go. We live in a go, go, go society. We're always on the move. We're always getting somewhere because we just left somewhere and we got to hurry and get there before we're late so we're not late to the next thing and the thing after that. But God invites us to come and rest. We're going to jump into Matthew chapter 11. Speaking of Matthew, your son's Bible is here in the back. If you haven't picked it up already, Mr. Coleman. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Of course, we know these are red letters, so this is Jesus speaking directly. And we're going to unpack that in just a moment. But why is it so important to rest? Let's jump back a little further into the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. This is way back in the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. God's just created the heavens and the earth. He's just spent 6 days. I think he was probably working 6 tens. You know, pretty rigorous work schedule. He was probably working 6 24s. I don't know. He's God. He can do whatever he wants, right? But on the seventh day, chapter 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God sets this great example for us to rest. He himself, he didn't go on into the seventh day and continue working and working, but he rested. And I don't think he needed a break. I think he only did it for you and I to benefit from as an example. That yes, work hard, complete all your work in those 6 days, but on that seventh day, He's inviting us to come and rest. And we're going to jump into the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And this is like in the list of the big 10, the 10 commandments. Like this is right along there with don't commit adultery, don't kill people, don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie, don't deceive. You know all the big 10 commandments? This is right up there with them. So rest is pretty important, correct? It's in that same category of things to do or don't do. Remember the Sabbath day, that's the seventh day, by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Meaning he wants you to come and rest and experience and enjoy and drink deep of all that he has to offer you on the seventh day. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. He even says the illegal aliens need a break. If we put it in modern day language, it says even they should have a Sabbath and take a day off. Even all those people moving into Idaho, those are illegal. Well, they're aliens. I don't know if they're illegal or not. They need a break. They need a Sabbath. So if it's so important that God puts this in the list with don't murder, don't steal, the big 10, it's pretty important for you and I to rest. Because if we rest properly in the Lord, we can work from our rest instead of rest from our work. Because when we rest properly in the Lord, he infills us with all that we need to go forth and do our work in those 6 days. And if we work from a place of rest, we're working with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, with his knowledge, with his wisdom, with his power and authority, with his direction. And we can have a much more productive 6 days than if we're just like, oh my goodness, I'm done working 6 days, I need a rest. And we're just trying to catch up. But rather moving and working from a place that God just filled me up so full, I need to do 6 days of work to unpack it all. Because I'm oozing with the goodness of God right now. So we need to take our rest seriously. For me, I do this on my walk with God. Try to do it on Wednesday. That's my typical day I do it. Physically, it's usually a very hard day for me. I go for a hike and bust out a mountain. But mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it's a recharge. It's a rest. I'm rebooting. I'm clearing. I get out of cell reception range so people can't call me or text me or bug me. No, distract me would be the correct word. Because if I have these distractions going on, I can't get alone with God. So your day of rest is about getting alone with your Heavenly Father and letting him infill you, pour into you, recharge you. Because batteries work a lot better when they're fully charged. And I'm like a great big child of God battery. I need to be properly charged, and I need to do it in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit so I can go forward and have a productive 6 days. Or some people like to say, as a pastor, I only work 20 minutes a week. So, whoa, yeah. Just some of my closest friends who like to jab me right here under the ribs. So God commands this to us in Mark 2:27. Jesus speaking here again. Then he said to them, as Jesus saying to the people, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, meaning God gifted us this day of rest. This is a gift from God. Will you refuse a gift from God? I refused this amazing gift one time. I was invited to Africa to go on a safari hunting trip, all expense paid. I'm like, you know, I just don't feel right about it. You know, I've always worked for what I get, and, you know, just I haven't done anything to earn this. So I initially told the guy, no, I can't go. But then out on my walk with God, God starts talking to me, and through a series of events and things, he's rambling in my brain, and we get to this point, and he goes, well, this is a gift from me to you. Will you refuse my gift? And I was like, oh, I'm refusing your gift, God. Okay, so I call the guy back and was like, hey, if the offer's still open, I'll go to Africa with you. And he says, absolutely, come on. So summer before last, I got to go to Africa on a hunting safari. It was awesome. God's gift to me. And he's given me lots of other little gifts all throughout my life, some bigger gifts. God's amazing. But sometimes for me personally, it's hard to accept a gift. I feel like I have to earn it. And for some of us, it's that same way to rest in God. We feel like we have to earn it, or we have to be good enough, or we have to do enough right things, or show up to church enough Sundays out of the month, and then we qualify to enter into his rest. But God says, no, it's my gift to you. Open-handed invitation, no strings attached, just come into my rest. So don't think that you need to qualify or you need to do enough right or good or holy things to receive this gift. It's been given to us, a gift of rest, the Sabbath. Come and enjoy. So we're going to unpack this little passage here, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. The first piece of it, let me get back to it so I can follow myself along. Matthew 11, 28, the first piece we're going to look at is the invitation. Come to me. Come to me. Well, who is God calling to himself? We're going to get to that in the moment. But think about all the invitations you've had in your life, invitations you've accepted, invitations you've rejected, why you did, why you didn't, whatever, whatever. But come to me. God is open-handed inviting you to come. And this is what you have to do to qualify. All you who are weary and burdened. All you who are weary and burdened. Have any of you ever carried a burden? Have any of you ever been weary? Have any of you ever been downcast, sorrowful, mourning, rejected, deflated, depleted? Put your word in there. You qualify to come into his presence and rest. You just qualified yourself to come. For some of us, before we met Christ, our burden was our sin. Jesus said, I paid it for you, but you've got to come to me and give it to me. Unburden yourself at the cross. Unburden yourself to me. I paid for it. So for some of us, that's our burden. And some of us unburden ourselves of our sin, and we accepted what Christ did for us, and we accepted his love and grace over our lives, accepted his forgiveness of our sin, and we started serving him, and then somewhere along the way we fell off the wagon, and our burden became pride or arrogance, or our burden became laziness. Our burden became not doing what we knew was the right thing to do, but just ignoring the problem. Our burden became ignorance. Our burden became guilt or shame. Our burden became, you put your word in there. What burdens do you carry? Maybe your burden became stress or worry or anxiety. Maybe your burden became, I'm a control freak. If I can't control the situation, I can't handle it. What is the burden you carry? Whatever it is, it qualifies you to come. You are qualified to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So who does he call? He calls all who are weary and burdened. And what does he have to offer these people? Us, his people. What does he offer us? He says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Have you ever been in a place in life where, man, if I could just lay down and rest? We were at the hot springs yesterday up in Red River. Of course, my youngest daughter, she's flailing in the water for hours and swimming and flopping and rowing and just getting tired. And we get in the truck and she's like, Dad, I'm tired. And we get, 2 miles down the road and she's like, just out. And I'm sitting in the driver's seat going, I am so jealous right now. I could do that very same thing. But no, I have a 3-hour drive ahead of me. I have to pay attention. The roads are slick and icy, and there's deer and rocks and logs and elk and all kinds of things that could be hazardous. Sometimes we look at people in their rest and like, how? I want what they got. Okay, in this physical sense, I couldn't just let go of the wheel. But in the spiritual sense, we got to learn to let go of the wheel. Give over control to God and come into his rest. Say, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I trust that you're a good father. I trust that you have good things in store for me. And I trust that no matter what happens, you're still a good God. I'm going to love you and serve you. And I'm going to embrace the outcome. Time and time again in my life, I've had to give over the controls of my life to God. And say, I don't know what it's going to look like, God, but here you go. Some of us think we don't need rest. Back in August, I took my wife away for our anniversary. And I'm just like looking at her going, you need some time away. You need to just rest and recharge. And she's going, no, I'm fine. And so we get to the place we're staying and we go to bed that night and I get up and go for a run in the morning and do my Bible study and do lots of other things. And about 11, she wakes up. And then by 1 o'clock, she's back in bed, takes a 5-hour nap, gets up about 6, we're up till about 9-ish, and boom, she's out again. So like she's literally up for 5 or 6 hours the first 24 were there. Second day is like a repeat of the first day. Finally, by I think the end of the third day, she's getting caught up a little bit, and she's like, wow, I guess I did need to rest. Don't get so run down that you're not even aware you need rest. That's why God gives it to us like every seventh day you need some rest. Work it into your week. Some people say it's on Saturday. Some people say it's on Sunday. I say it's on Wednesday. So I don't think the exact day is as important as are you taking time to get alone with the Father so that he can refresh you, replenish you, pour into you, and fill you back up so you can go out and do the work he's created you to do the other 6 days. That's the important timeless principle of it. God wants time alone with you to refresh you, to replenish you, to pour into you, so that you can go out and do the work he's called you to do. So we're getting into verse 29. So we know the invitation's there, who he invites, what he's inviting us to. And verse 29, take my yoke upon you. This is where we take our hands off the wheel and say, God, you're in control. When you take his yoke upon you, you have to humble yourself. Because when you come under a yoke, you're no longer in control. But the one at the reins is in control. Or the stronger ox you're paired with is in control. And when you yoke yourself to Christ, you're saying, I yield myself. You have to humble yourself. Say, I submit to your authority. I submit to your will. I submit to your direction. And I no longer get to do what Arby wants to do. I get to do what the Father calls me to do. So we have to give up control, submit to God's will. And here's a really big one that's tough for me sometimes. is wait for God's timing. I no longer get to say when and where, but I get to wait for God's timing of when he tells me to go where and say what and do what. And we have lots of things we can do on our own, like I set my alarm for a specific time this morning. God didn't say, hey, Arby, you're getting up at 5. I told myself I'm getting up at 5. There's lots of freedom in our life to do what we want to do, but on big spiritual matters, God says, yoke yourself with me. Let me show you the way. Let me train and develop you. Let me lead you in the ways of righteousness. Let me lead you in all I have in store for you. He's not trying to yoke himself to us so he can jerk us around and show us who's tougher and who's better, because we know it's him. He's doing it for our benefit. So this is when we get to the point of saying, your will, God, not mine. The next piece is that, and learn from me. God wants us to yoke ourselves with him. You know, the olden day yokes, right, that connect two oxen, they pull the plow or the cart or whatever they're doing. But, and learn from me. You have to be teachable. This is another part that's on us. We have to be teachable. We first have to humble ourselves, know that we're qualified to come into his rest, and then we have to be teachable. Ready to sit under his instruction. I meet with people all the time. Hey, I need some help in life. And okay, I'll come help you. Or at least once. If you don't listen to my instruction, I won't help you again. Because you're wasting my time and yours. You just want somebody to vent to. And I'm not an exhaust vent. I do want to help you. I do want you to live a better life than you're currently living. I do want to encourage you. I do want to empower you. I do want to see you experience all that God has in store for you. But if you won't listen to instruction, if you're not teachable, you're wasting my time and yours. So you have to be teachable. The Lord says, come, yoke yourself with me and learn from me. Meaning he wants to teach us some things. Meaning we are not the smartest people on the planet. So don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. And then he tells us a little bit about himself, because if we'll come into his rest, we can begin to experience a relationship with him. We can begin to know who God is at a deeper level. He says, for I am gentle. For I am gentle. God is trustworthy to being gentle. And the next piece, and humble in heart. God is patient. He is meek. God is trustworthy. Get to know your Heavenly Father. Don't take my word for it. Develop your own relationship with him. Many years ago, we had several hunting groups at the ranch, and one of the guests was Wayne Van Zwal. If you know anything about shooting or firearms, you know Wayne Van Zwal. He's like the Michael Jordan is to basketball as Wayne Van Zwal is to firearms and shooting and trajectory and ballistics and all that fun. I mean, wrote books and books on it. But he's at the lodge and he's hunting, and in come these two up and rising country music stars, and they're doing their little hunt and video shoot thing, whatever this reality TV show thing, whatever they do. And we're sitting down at lunch one day, and this young gal had just shot her deer, and she apparently doesn't know who Wayne Van Zwal is, because she's telling him all about firearms and trajectory, and she's a little off in her details. And he could have just shut her up right there and says, just stop. You don't know what you're talking about. But he just sat there so calmly and happy and just excited for her. It was her first deer, and she was pumped up, and he didn't say a word about anything. He just let her talk and tell her story. And this is how God is with us. He could just say, Arby, you're such an idiot. What's wrong with you? Don't you know you're my creation? You got to be better than this. Quit acting in your flesh, Arby. Come on. And he does have to correct me. But instead, he just sits there on his couch, and I get to spill my guts to him. And say, this is what's going on in life, and it's everybody else's fault because I'm perfect. And he says, oh, Arby, come on. Get it together. So this guy just sits there and listens to her story. And then afterwards, her music buddy partner, I don't know how that all works, but other musician goes, "Do you know who that is?" She's like, "His name's Wayne." Like, he's another guest here at the lodge with us. He's like, "That's Wayne Van Zwal." She's like, "Who's that?" He's like, and we had some books in our library that he had written there, and he like goes and gets them and shows them. She's like, "Oh." And then she's like going to him for like, "Can you teach me? Can you tell me some things? Can you help me out?" So it was really cool. And that's the way God is with us. He's so meek and gentle of heart and just excited to see us experience and enjoy life and coach us and train us along the way so that we can learn from him. And it's not just about next lightning bolt, Arby. Because, like, he'd probably run out of them on me. Yeah, just at childhood. That's even pre-adult. God's not that way. He's welcoming. He's the Heavenly Father that just says, "Come. Come into my presence. Come taste and see." That one's next week. We're going to jump into that one. Come taste and see. So the next piece. So I am gentle and humble in heart, and I and you will find rest for your souls. God promises you will find rest for your soul. If you'll come into my presence, if you'll come rest in me, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll be teachable, if you'll trust me, and you'll learn from me, you will find rest for your soul. So God's promises always usually have a little piece that we have to do on our part as well. Here, all we have to do is humble ourselves, yoke ourselves to him, and be teachable. And he says, you will find rest for your soul. So we have to be willing to yield our will to his and find rest for our soul. Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy." God invites us into a partnership with him. You don't have to go through life alone. You can feel alone and isolated and abandoned by all of humanity. But God says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." If you will choose to partner with him. He still gives us that choice. And he tells us this is why. "For my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." When I think about a burden, I think about taxes. I don't like paying taxes. But then I think about the nice gravel that was slung on the slick highway yesterday and the de-icer that was sprayed on the highway yesterday and the snow berms that were at the edge of the road and not in the road yesterday. And I thought, you know, maybe I don't mind paying taxes so bad. I'm getting some benefits out of these taxes. But then I think about, you know, federal state taxes are usually about 20-25% of your income or somewhere in that ballpark. Oh, higher, 32%, whatever it is, it's high, whatever it is. 40, 50, I don't know, it's high. I know it's up there. But then I think about, what does God ask of us? Our tithe, our offering, he says 10%. God's burden is light. God's burden is easy. He asks for a third or less than what the government asks, and he does about 100 times more with it. Maybe 1 billion times more, because he gets people to heaven with it. Maybe it's infinity times more. I play this game with my kids. I know how it works. Infinity and beyond times more. You guys do that with kids, right? I'm not weird. Okay, I'm not the only one. This is good. But God's burden, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's not inviting me to something saying, "Arby, I'm going to stretch you so thin, you're not going to know what to do with yourself." Now think about the different kinds of rest that we need in our lives. In the different phases of life, it looks different, I believe. And sometimes we really need a lot of rest. We need a lot of rest. And sometimes we just need a bit. Sometimes you need to get away with your Father for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days in a row, maybe. Just say, God, I need a complete reboot. Body, soul, and spirit. I need a complete reboot. God, I need an overhaul. I think about some of the rest I've needed in my life. When I was sick with MRSA, I would crawl from the couch to the bathroom, which probably wasn't from here to that Christmas tree. I would use the restroom and have to lay on the floor of the bathroom to take a rest before I could get back to the couch. Some of you, it's been so long since you've taken a rest. You're spiritually in this state. Like, so tired, it's tiring to rest. It's like exhausting to rest. Have you ever been that tired? I didn't think you could be that tired and live until I had MRSA. I mean, you can be that tired and still live. It's horrible. But then I think about the shape I have been in, like probably the peak of my physical abilities. I could hike a mountain for 4,000 or 5,000 vertical feet and maybe stop 20 minutes total altogether along the hike. Just 10 seconds here, 15 seconds there. Maybe just a stop and a pause to look at the next route up the mountain. And I look at my state now and I'm like, you know, I can probably do 1,000 feet like that, but then I'm going to need a pretty good lunch break. I'm going to need some sit-down time and let the oxygen flow back into some muscle groups. But where are you at spiritually? What kind of rest do you need from the Father? Because if you will be humble, if you will be teachable, He's ready to pour His rest into you. And He invites you openly, come and receive my rest. Come and receive the good things I have in store for you. And He promises us that it's easy and it's light. At the end of service, the prayer team is going to be up here ready to pray with you. And if you don't want somebody to pray with you, you can come up to the altar on your own. Just say, God, I need to rest in you. God, I need to lean some things down in my schedule to make time for you. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you get a day off in the middle of week to go rest and recharge and whatever you. You have no idea how hard it is for me to take off a Wednesday to go walk with God. It's extremely difficult to stop because I look at all the needs of our community and our church body and my family. And like, there's too much to do. God, I don't have time to visit you today. God, you're going to have to skip a week because I've got too much to do. Have you looked at my schedule? Oh, you should look at it sometime if you ever get a chance. So don't think it's any easier for me to take a day off. I have to, on purpose, be intentional. I put it in my calendar so that day is booked out. So when I look at it, I go, oh, yeah, reminder right there. Don't book anything else, Arby. You're getting alone with God. And I wish I could tell you every week I do just that. Some weeks I fail miserably, and I don't take my rest, and it shows up in my actions and my attitude, my thinking processes, my lack of patience, my lack of understanding. So come forward and get prayer at the end of service here, or just spend some time with God. Say, hey, God, I've been neglecting you. I've been neglecting my rest in you. God, I'm feeling run down. I need a recharge. Help me to reprioritize my schedule and put you in it as number one so I can experience the rest you have in store for me. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come and rest. You're invited. I know you all have burdens. You've all been weary. You're qualified. Humble yourself. Be teachable. Come and rest in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Wayne, would you come, please?